So, of course, we are continuing this week with our study of the Psalms, and in particular, the Psalms that focus on the display or focus on God's righteousness. This particular Psalm of Psalm 18, or I'm sorry, the study of Psalm 18 will take a few weeks, as it is the longest one in this teaching series of 50 verses. So throughout the psalm, we will see many ways in which God will display his righteousness. But, of course, because of limited time, we will only be studying 6 verses, and in these we will only see a few. This psalm is a version of what is written in 2 Samuel chapter 22, verses 1 through 23. It is a song that David wrote after being delivered from his enemies and also from the hand of Saul. It may be that it was written right after he was, maybe not right after he was delivered, but perhaps in his old age. We know from Scripture, as it is written in the Psalms and in many other books, that David had many enemies, and God delivered him from all of them, and especially Saul, who, as we know, was probably his greatest enemy. This psalm, it is a psalm of triumph and the display of God's righteousness and how he rules his people and how also he carries out his wrath. God fulfills his promises and judges his enemies rightly. And also his own people he judges rightly. As we study this psalm, keep these points in mind. As I studied the psalm, I could not help but to come to a place of confidence and boldness in my faith reading these words of God. And so I hope that it is a benefit to you as well. As God is David's God, he is also our God, and he is our rock. He is our fortress and our deliverer. To the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, verse 1, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The pangs of death surrounded me, and the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry came before him, even to his ears. I don't know if I mentioned, but we will be studying, taking a look at the first 6 verses of the psalm, as that is how it is broken up in our Psalter, and I figured that would be easiest to fit in the time frame as well. So going back to verse 1, as we sing in our Psalter, I'll love you, Lord, you are my strength. So here, David has given us 2 examples. The first example, to love God, is restated in the words that Christ gave in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 and 38. Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. So we know God is deserving of all of our love, our adoration, our affections, and our attention. He's deserving of all of that and of all the glory. The second example is a mindset that we should have of one aspect of God's role in our lives. He is our strength. His promises to his people will be kept, and he promises that he will protect them and keep them, and that they shall not be overcome. Psalm 89, 20 and 24 states, I have found my servant David. With my holy oil I have anointed him, with whom my hand shall be established. Also, my arm shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not outwit him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. I will beat down his foes before his face, and plague those who hate him. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name his horn shall be exalted. It's awesome. God's arm does strengthen, as does the work of the Holy Spirit in all of his people. Through the work of the Holy Spirit, we become more and more sanctified and rest in God to trust him to keep us and to protect us. As we gain confidence, we gain boldness to spread his word, to spread his gospel, and to do his work. He is our rock and our fortress. Verse 2. The Lord is my rock and fortress, my God, my strength, in whom I trust, horn of salvation and high tower. So these are David's words, the words that he said and thought as he dwelled and hid himself in the mountains of Judea after escaping the wrath of Saul. And so God is compared to such a place of concealment and security. Christians are often hidden by the mighty shield of God from their enemies. Like an insurmountable and impenetrable fortress, God offers his protection to his people. God's strength is our strength. God's word is really our rock in the sense of strength and immobility. If we are to have unchanging and eternal confidence and support, our thoughts, those thoughts, they must be based upon something that is of the same substance. That is exactly what God's word, his laws, his instructions, and his promises are. They are what we can trust and believe in. It is from this high tower that we can take a vantage point to assess our situation, from which we can mount our attack in the war against evil, and to which we can retreat to realign ourselves with God and call upon him for help. Verse 3, I'll call upon the Lord for help, for worthy of all praise is he, and in this way I will be saved, rescued from all my enemies. So I would suggest that the more that we rely upon God for help, the more we will be brought to align ourselves with his thoughts through prayer and also the reading of his word. We must learn to love God better, as it is only God that is deserving of all the glory. Loving God means learning to love prayer that is offered to him, to love that prayer more, to call upon him as long as we live, especially in times of trouble and affliction. Acts chapter 2, 21 tells us, and it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So it is a good thing for us to meditate on the deliverances that God gives us so that we will become reminded more often to give him praise. The more we remind ourselves to give him praise, the more we will be reminded to trust in him when the wicked surround us and aim to destroy us. Verses 4 and 5. Sorrows of death encompassed me. Floods of the wicked frightened me. Sorrows of hell encircled me. The snares of death prevented me. So here, David's words are conveying a time when he seems completely overwhelmed. He has death and he has hell encompassing him and surrounding him. He is in a place where wave after wave of the wicked's attacks are completely compelling him to be frightened and afraid. We have all been in this place. Now, it may not be the faces of enemies that we are looking at that is frightening, but it may be certain decisions that we are facing. Whatever the case is, we must not let these fears confront and prevent us from acting, but instead act in those ways which are glorifying to God. we must be reminded that Christ faced these same fears as a man here on earth. He was met and snared, and they took away his life. Matthew 26, verses 3 and 4. Then the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders of the people assembled at the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and plotted to take Jesus by trickery and kill him. In times like this, in times of distress, if we are practiced and mindful, we will call upon God as David does in verse 6. In distress I called on the Lord, and I cried out unto my God. He from his temple heard my voice. My cry for help had reached his ear. So, David does, of course, what he knows he must do. He does all that he can do. He calls out to the one that is everlasting, the one who is the most high of all the earth, and also who is able to save, as Christ did in Matthew, as Christ exclaimed in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27, verse 46. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? So, as David did, as Christ did, when in distress, we as Christians, as often as we are in distress through sin and Satan, through the hidings of God's face, through the variety of worldly afflictions, through the persecutions of men, we too should cry out to God. A time of distress is a time for prayer. God, in his righteousness, sometimes lets us experience a time of suffering to bring us closer to his throne of grace. And what a great privilege it is to have such a throne to be able to come to and lay forth our sorrows. He promises that we can trust in him as he is omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. He knows our desires and knows what is best for us as we are one of his. We shall continue next week with the psalm and learn more of God's graces towards David, which are also ours to reap as God's people.